Welcome to Kingsway's weekly podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So this is me facing a fear, because I believe fears are meant to be faced, and I want to live out of something I believe. So my talk at iDestiny, it told many testimonies of just what I've experienced in life, and it was mostly a talk of just what I've learned from my own life, as well as testimonies of God never leaving me in my life as his child, both through a very religious phase of my life and a very wild phase of my life. And one of those testimonies coming out of both of those things that really spoke to me, it was one of the very first visions I had, and it was me standing before God. I think I was like 22 at the time, and I could see him as a father a long way off, but I could see him clearly. And so I just started running towards him. And as I ran towards him, I grew younger and younger and younger. And by the time I got to him, I was this little child, this little girl. And he swooped me up in his arms as the father or the parent. And I was just wrapped completely in love. And today I kind of want to just go deeper on that journey, but also something that's just important to me of living as a child, living knowing that child within us and that childlike heart that I believe that God has given each and every one of us to live from. We all know that Christ died to live in us and that he does live in each and every one of us. We all are mind, body, and spirit, and we are all connected to him through our spirits. But I keep losing my place. This was prophesied before Jesus even died on the cross, because we see in Ezekiel chapter 36, it says, God is saying, I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will remove that heart of stone from you and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and you will walk in my ways. Jesus didn't only give us his spirit, but he gave us this new heart. I believe this heart of stone doesn't just simply come out of us all at once. Because I know it says, I will remove that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, but I think it's a process. I think the heart of flesh is true love, living out of God's love. And once we come to know God and have the realization and of the truth, we might realize it, the truth in our minds, but we have these habits that we've built up before this moment, and those habits try to creep back into our lives. But God is very gracious, and he takes us through this process of healing as we come to know God deeper and deeper. Is it okay if I just throw this on the floor? So these, I just kind of picture that stone heart being like actual stones that are in our heart that kind of are blockages from God's love going into areas of our heart that are meant to experience God's love and meant to see and know the fullness of God in every part of our heart. And when I talk about our heart, I talk about it being every part of our life. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And these are the words of Jesus, a man who walked the earth doing life unlike anybody around him, in a completely different lifestyle and culture than he was living in. He was doing very radical things. But he was treating that culture around him with so much care and so much grace and so much love and so much compassion. Because I know it also says that he looked around and saw these people like just like sheep without a shepherd, and he was filled with compassion. And he came to show them the way back to their father. For he knew their father, but he saw that they didn't. And that way was through love. The love of a pure heart. And I think when that word purity comes up, we so often think of it being connected to the body, and what we do and what we don't do, and choices that we make. But I don't believe that purity comes from the body. I believe that purity comes from the heart. Like, if we have pure hearts, then it flows into our minds. We have pure thoughts. When we have pure thoughts, our actions are also pure. And somewhere along the way, we learn from the world different ways of thinking and different ways of living and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And I love that Jesus just came to show, yeah, this is I'm living in the world, but I'm not a part of it. Like, I'm a part of the kingdom of heaven. And I think that pure in heart, when I think of a pure heart, the purest heart that I can think of is the heart of a child. And because children, they don't try to be pure. They just are pure. Even if a child, like 2 years old, hears a curse word somewhere and you hear them repeat it, you laugh at them and say, oh, where did you learn that? The child doesn't get in trouble because they don't know. They're just pure. They're just so pure. And Jesus simply lived as the Son of God. He knew the child that was within him because he was his father's child. He lived with that pure heart, and he lived his whole life sinless, living his whole life just wrapped in that love and knowing that he was loved and constantly being loved on in every area of his heart and his life. He was constantly dwelling in unity with the Father, with God and Holy Spirit as he walked this earth. And he might have been in the world just as we are in the world right now, but he was always living in the kingdom of heaven, even as he was on this earth. He was being God in human form, and he came to earth to show us what true relationship with the Creator looks like. And this is the way I believe Adam was originally designed to live, but not just Adam, but humanity. Before the fall, Adam's relationship with God and Adam's relationship with Eve and Adam's relationship with the earth was one of complete unity. Jesus' life demonstrated this same exact way of living. He was one with God, unified, whole, and all of this unity came through love. Even when the world did not show love to Jesus, the world showed complete hatred towards him sometimes, all the way to the cross and the brutal way that he died. But Jesus, the whole time, knew he was loved. He was the whole time, I believe, he was experiencing love in every moment of his life, because he was continuously being loved on by God. Hello, hello. Yay. And I'm back. So just what I was saying right before that is Jesus' life just was that demonstration of living in unity. When we saw him, he said, we look at him, we see the Father. So because he was one with the Father the whole time, unified in love. And the truth, and like I said, even when the world was just showing him complete hatred and not showing him a bit of love, he never felt unloved because he was continuously being loved on by the Father. And this truth is that each and every one of us are continuously being loved on by the Father. But we are all living in a state of healing. So sometimes we don't experience this love where we need to be experiencing. But it doesn't mean that it's not happening. It doesn't mean that in those moments that we feel hopeless or discouraged that or unloved, most of all unloved, it doesn't mean that just because we're feeling that way that it's the truth, because we are all continuously being loved on around us and within us by God. Growing younger in those hearts of flesh. And when I think God says, I will give you that heart of flesh, I think it means a pure heart, that heart of a child. Just as Jesus said, pure hearts see God. And I think we were made to see God. But just growing younger in those hearts of flesh as God is graciously removing those stones that keep us from fully receiving his truth. Having a pure heart like we see as little children, it enables us to receive and live in constant awareness of this truth that we are loved. I believe the word flesh is love, a heart of love, but pure love, true love. And I believe that true love is the love of God. This is the heart that God has given us to live from, and it is our access of doing life on earth while seeing and living from the kingdom of heaven. Because that was Jesus' whole gospel when he first came back, is the kingdom of heaven is here. In Matthew 18, I love this because the disciples asked Jesus in this chapter, they were all arguing, which of us is the greatest? Which of us is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And in verse 2, Jesus calls a small child over to him and puts the child among them. And Jesus says, I assure you, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And one of the things I love about Jesus is he never answers a question outright. He always illustrates things with pictures and with parables. And I believe he did this because that is the language of the Spirit within. Like the Spirit within us is always talking to us through these pictures and parables, and even going for a walk in the park, like you can look at things and hear the Spirit speaking to things through you. And that was a lot like the language of Jesus back then, at least to me. And that's how we interpret the Spirit's wisdom as he guides us. And just to answer the disciples, Jesus just simply puts this child among them. And especially in that culture, a little child, often overlooked and unheard. And he says, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children. And I believe that we turn from our sins by becoming like little children. Pure in heart, which is blessed, and seeing God, just in that simple phrase in Matthew 5. Children see much more than we realize. And when we live from that heart of a child, we will too. It might be unlike the world does, sees things and knows things, and it might not make sense to the world. But we will just become more and more into the revelation of what the Spirit is speaking within us. These pure hearts that see more of God, they see more of the kingdom of God around them, even if they don't understand it. You can watch a child play and they just go off in their own little world. And I wonder what exactly they're seeing and exactly they're experiencing. Or even just a tiny little baby seems like it's looking at nothing. And I always wonder, I'm wondering if it's really seeing what we call nothing. Children have faith that enables them to see and experience miracles and wonder. And I remember this from being a child myself and seeing miracles as a child, which I shared some at iDestiny. But there was just, life was always full of wonder and full of exploration and full of dreams. And I think that's how God made us to live, especially as we grow older. Children are in touch with their creativity. And we are all creative beings. I can't tell you how many times I hear, oh, I'm not creative. Yes, you are. If anyone believes that right now, I just say, yes, you are. You are creative because you were made in the image of the Creator. I understand for some of us, living with such a heart, this pure childlike heart, is really hard to believe in because some of us have been through quite a lot. And it's not a switch that we just realize and suddenly we start to live as a child. It's like, it's just that process that we're going through. Like I said, our minds and our bodies, we form habits out of the lies that we learn from the world. And I believe these habits become like those stones in our hearts. And as you all know, habits, especially bad habits, are extremely hard to break, especially once you've repeated them over years and years of time. And especially when these habits are self-destructive. You may think, sometimes you think you have victory over it in an area, and a bad day comes and that habit strikes back. And I say habits kind of in replace of the word sin because I don't like the word sin. I think sin is, we've linked the word sin to have a lot of power when I don't think it does. But sin is simply something that hinders our connection to God, stops us from seeing God clearly, and I believe stops us from seeing ourselves clearly. This is why Jesus always tells us to turn from these things. Because Jesus wants us to see ourselves clearly, and Jesus wants us to see and to know God clearly, because Jesus wants us to be loved. And being made to be connected to God in all areas of our life, by being connected to Him in that way, we experience true love in every area of our lives. And we experience true love within an area of struggle. And I believe that is what removes those stones. And like I said, it's not just sometimes it's a miraculous one-off thing that happens and it's gone. But I think for a lot of times it's a process. God's whole purpose for creation is love and unity. And I believe sin is the result of lack of love. And lack of love causes division. Division among others, among people, among family, among friends, but also division within ourselves. This division and lack of love within ourselves brings shame. And in shame, we feel the need to hide something that we're doing because we believe the lie that it's who we are. And believing that lie, oh, this is who I am, but I have to hide it, I feel like that shame comes from something deeper within. Because if we are ashamed of something that we're doing, it's because we're doing something that we don't want to do. So that tells me right there, it's not who we are. If you're experiencing shame over something you're doing, it's something that you don't want to be doing. It's just a bad habit that was formed from lies that we believe. And it might be lies that we believe about people or lies that we believe about ourselves. But again, it's just a stone that still remains and is still healing. It's a part of your heart that can only be healed and removed and freed through love. Division and shame are the weapons of the enemy. This is really the only weapon he has. Division, shame, accusation. And He uses these to keep us from the greater weapon that we carry with us. And this weapon that we have full access to that just can demolish any of this. The weapon above all weapons, which is love. And that habit that is just a counterfeit that you've learned somewhere in life to replace a part of you where true love was meant to dwell. And I will admit, because I know through many bad habits that I've had to break and still struggle with at times, to break a habit, even through a process of love, does feel like killing a part of yourself. In Colossians 3:5, it says, put to death the worldly things around you. And it goes in to talk about, you know, like, it talks about sin and list off a few sins. And that word put to death is such a strong visualization of getting rid of that part of yourself, even though I don't believe it's a part of yourself. Because that habit isn't who you are, it's just a habit. But you are becoming who you want to be because inside you already know who you are. You are a child of God. And God is not an accuser. And God does not shame his children. God is true love. And I believe all victory over every area, every struggle, every battle is found in love. Because God is love and God is not shame. We are made to love and to be loved, to know love and to love ourselves, knowing who we are as God's beloved children and living from that heart within us. Colossians 3:1 says, you have been raised into a new life with Christ, so set your mind on the realities of heaven where Christ is with God, seated next to him in honor and power, and let heaven fill your thoughts and do not dwell on the things of earth. I often find myself dwelling on things of earth like fear, worry, anxiety, depression. And sometimes when these things start to overwhelm me, the biggest thing that helps me is just stopping and taking a breath, just inhaling and exhaling, because I believe that God is in our breath. It's like a perfect illustration of who God is within us and around us. He is our breath of life, which is what he says he gave Adam in Genesis. He breathed into Adam, giving him life. And taking a breath helps reset my mind to dwell on him, because we're not constantly dwelling on our breath every second of the day. But every second of the day, our breath is keeping us alive. And I think that's much like God. It's much like both God and the kingdom of heaven, which is here for us to live in right now and in eternity. And in Colossians, where it does say, fill your mind with the things of heaven. So I ask, what are the things of heaven? Colossians 3:12 says, we are holy people, as God's children, whom he loves. So clothe yourself in tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13 says, make allowance for each other's faults. And I just think that's so good because we don't often make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive those who offend you. The most important item you must wear, it says, out of all of these things that I list, is love. And love, in verse 14, says, love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony and in unity. And I love this because unity is who God is. And his desire for us is to live in the same unity within ourselves and within each other. And we do this through communication, just in our words. And then we have the love languages that I'm sure a lot of you have read, those five love languages: physical touch, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, surprises, and there's one more, acts of service. In living in this way, the peace of Christ rules our hearts. And when the peace of Christ is ruling in your heart, it just naturally flows into your mind, into your thoughts. And that's how you process life. It just starts becoming a new habit, a new way of thinking. Filling our thoughts And then filling our thoughts, it results in our actions. It results in our moods, in our behavior, and the choices that we make in life. And living from this peace is unity, living in unity with the Spirit of God within us. Continuing reading in Colossians in verse 15, it says, as members of one body, the body of Christ, all of us, we are called to live in this peace and in thankfulness, to be thankful, and to meditate on love, knowing true love is God. And I just know that where love and unity is found, pure love, true love, the Holy Spirit is flowing. And He is not limited to Christianity, but He created each and every being on this earth. And if I go back to Colossians again, in verse 10 through 11, it says, you have clothed yourself in this brand new nature, the new heart that is continuously being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, the creator of this new nature within you. In this life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of you. And I see Holy Spirit in the creativity of others, even more in the creativity of others that flows out of a pure heart. Because again, in Matthew 5, Jesus says, the pure in heart are blessed because they see God. And for those of you who know me, you know my love for Disney and my love for children movies. I find Disney and children movies so prophetic, and I believe it's because these are written from creativity and purity because they're written for a pure audience, little kids. And I love that in almost every single kids movie, you see the same theme. It's good versus evil. It's a main character finding their identity, finding who they are. And there's always this big battle at the end, this huge thing they have to face. And there's within this battle, they look victorious. You know, they're gaining their strength. But then it always takes a turn for the worse, always. And things always look like the enemy's going to win. But even as we sit here and we watch this, we know this isn't going to be over because the enemy never wins. Evil never wins. And good finds its true strength in that moment where it looks like the enemy is going to win. They find who they are, and they find what they are capable of in that very last moment, the hardest moment. And in the end, good is victorious. And I love that we see that so much in kids' movies, because I just think that God's speaking that to all of us, just reminding us who we are, reminding us how different each and every one of us are created, and how each one of us are made for a specific purpose. And each one of us are made to be ourselves, unlike any other. Each one of us is our own Disney prince and princess. You each have your own story. You each have your own battle and your own victory. And the Bible says in Hebrews, the word of God is alive and active. And I love my Bible because it's one of the ways God speaks to me. Very much out of context because He speaks directly to my heart through those words. But I love the Bible. And I find God's word more by knowing the Spirit within. His word is Jesus, the Spirit of Christ within. And when we live in that spirit of truth and purity, we stand as innocent children, like that little child among the disciples, among the arguing disciples of who is the greatest. They all argue with their focus on who is better, who is perfect, comparing themselves to one another. And we're not made to live in that comparison, trying to be better than the other one, just trying to be your best self. But the child, it only has focus on one thing in that moment, and its focus is Jesus. It's that little child that's probably often overlooked and unheard lives out of thankfulness to simply be in Jesus' presence in that moment. his eyes full of wonder and a heart full of love. And after those verses in Matthew 18, Jesus talks about how horrible it would be for anyone who causes a child to lose faith. And his words, I didn't quote them in here because they were very harsh. And they seem harsh, but to me, it shows the importance to Jesus of being as a child in heart and living from faith. And we have all seen children lose faith because we have all been that child that loses faith in different areas of our life. No family and no life is perfect. We each experience hard things and we each go through battles and lies, and it starts at different ages. And sadly, for some children, it starts at birth. And when a child loses faith, a part of their heart's eyes become closed. Those eyes, those pure hearts that were made to see God, as they start losing faith, and as we start losing faith, those eyes start to close. And when a heart, and what heart is more pure than that of a child who has not lost any faith? Like I said, we have all been that child on the inside that has lost faith in things. Our fathers, our mothers, our siblings, friendships, lovers. And all of these identities that we grow up slowly losing faith in, these are all attributes of who God is and who God is to each one of us. He is our father. He is our mother. He is our brother. He is our friend. And he is our lover, because he is true love. And just as any children's movie will tell you, true love breaks any curse. To do life with God, with that pure heart, enables us to see God. It reopens those eyes of our hearts that have been closed, freeing the areas of our hearts that we've tried to fill with these bad habits, softening those parts of our hearts that had turned into stone, and renewing them into hearts of flesh once again, by allowing these areas of stone to experience that true love. And sometimes those areas of stone are those areas of shame. And we just have to start loving those areas instead of putting shame over them. This is the process that God wants to take us through as we take his hand and grow older in this world, but younger in heart and spirit, until we are that whole child again, full of faith in every area of our lives and in every way that we are made to see God. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "Behold, this great love that our Father has lavished upon us, that we are called children of God, because that is what we are. Because of this, the world does not understand or know us. Because the world does not understand or know him." And just to sum up everything I'm trying to say through all of this, is choose love in every area of your life. True love. Experience true love's kiss that breaks every curse. Forgive those who have caused you to lose your faith. Forgive yourself for areas that you haven't been loving. Areas where you haven't recognized the beautiful creation that you are. Let go of that shame that you've been carrying. Allow yourself to be loved in those dark areas of battle. Loved by others and loved by yourself, which I believe is equally important. Love brings light, and light brings life. And Jesus is our eternal life. So just allow yourself to find that child you are within again. The child God made you to be. Learning to live from that pure heart that he gave us, the heart of flesh, the heart of true love, because love covers over all, and love heals every wound, and love always wins.
We hope this message blessed you. If you're hungry for the more of God, if you want to be equipped to live the normal Christian life 24/7, see miracles, walk in healthy relationships, and discover Christ in you, then why don't you head over to www.idestiny.org.uk. iDestiny is Kingsway's 5-month full-time ministry and discipleship school, starting both in March and September every year. For more information on Kingsway Church, please visit www.kwcm.org. And for more information about iDestiny, please visit www.idestiny.org.uk. Have a great day.